This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And this is what the Prophet ﷺ said. So don't make that as an excuse. Don't make that as an excuse. And by the way, a lot of people, they think this worldly life, living in this worldly life, they think that being a Muslim, you are always going to be, you know, lonely and destitute and so forth. And they have a hadith, most hadith in Sahih Muslim, reported by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, said that the Prophet said, "As dunya sijnu mu'min wa jannatu jahannam." This worldly life is a prison for the believers and a paradise for the disbeliever. And when they read that hadith, and they said, "Well, we just have to be really poor, yes, but that's how we are. That's how Muslims are, right?" No, no, that's not how it works. Muslims are at the top of their game also. The best Muslims, then in the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were very wealthy. I want you to look at Uthman ibn Affan, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. You know Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he brought all his wealth. He didn't leave any for his family. You might say, wait, is that permissible? It's not permissible for everybody. But for somebody like Abu Bakr, it was. Do you know why? Because as Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, "Kana Abu Bakr atjaru." Abu Bakr was the best of the merchants of Quraysh. The best. That's why he was able to free many slaves. When you talk about freeing a slave, that's a lot of money. You know, a slave during those days, it was like owning a BMW. Only the rich people had them. So imagine, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, for every day that he was a Muslim, he freed a slave. Can you buy a BMW every day in your life? But they were the best. Do you know why? Because they used their wealth. They knew how to use their wealth. They were thankful for it. And when you're thankful for something, Allah increases it. And if you're thankful for something, then you spend it in the obedience of Allah. If you're thankful for the help that you have, then spend your energy and help in the obedience of Allah. Spend your energy, your time, and your obedience of Allah. And Allah will increase it. If you're thankful for the love that you have, then you spend it in the obedience of Allah. If you spend it in the obedience of Allah, Allah increases it. That's why every morning, looking in there, it's a good body for us. Oh, Allah just says you have perfected my features also perfect my character. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase it for you. Whatever you may have. A lot of the times we don't realize what a great blessing it is that we are in. Just to help, just being healthy at some point. Like right now, all of us get family, but we're able to come to the masjid, we're able to give. Understand and hear, we're healthy. You know, that's such a great blessing that we don't even think about. That's why the Arabs have a saying, it says, "Asihatu tajun ala ru'us al-asihah, ala ru'us al-asihah, la yamahu illallah." Asihah, health, is like a crown on the heads of all of those who are healthy. Nobody sees this crown except for those who are sick. Every one of us. Such a great blessing. And that's why we don't realize how great this blessing is. And so, is it better to be rich and thankful or poor and rich? Some of the scholars said it's better to be poor and rich. Because they said, well, some of the proofs for that is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They say that the Prophet lived a very simple life. Okay. He did live a simple life. It was by choice. But they also have proof, I think it's in the Tirmidhi, which the Prophet said, that the poor people will enter paradise 500 years before the rich people. But hey, if they're going to enter paradise first, it must be better, right? So, which one is better? Actually, the right answer is that a rich person who is thankful is better than a poor person who is rich. Why? Because one who is rich, is when a person is rich, his thankfulness benefits himself and benefits other people also. And so, in this life, you're either in a state of thankfulness or a state of being patient. Thankfulness or patient. And a believer, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, he says, I did an amr mu'min. The affair of the believer is very strange. In the amr mu'min, indeed, his affairs are always good for him. إِذَا أَصَابَتْ صَبْرًا شَكَّرْ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَإِذَا أَصَابَتْ صَبْرًا صَبَرْ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. If something good happens to him, he's thankful and it's good for him. If something bad happens to him, he is patient and it's good for him. Well, it's a valid edge of the movement. Nobody is in this state except for a believer. So a believer whose concern is the hereafter, whose worry, when we speak about your concern being the hereafter, it does not mean that you don't do anything, you don't go to school, you don't do this and don't do that. No. When we say your concern is the hereafter, it doesn't mean you're going to be poor and end up with like a measly, measly paying job. No. First of all, you as a believer, as a Muslim, whatever you're doing, whatever field you're choosing, whatever major you're choosing, you choose it based on what will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever you're doing, you do it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you do your best in whatever you're doing. That's what we mean when you think about your concern is the hereafter. You prioritize things correctly. That doesn't mean you're going to be poor and destitute all the time, no. But if Allah tests you with that, then be firm. Then be firm and be strong. And that's why I remember the hadith that said, Adunya sidhu mu'min wa jannatu kafir. That this world is a prison for the believers and a paradise for the disbelievers. Do you know what that means? Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, is one of the greatest scholars in Islam. He was the one that put together, or that compiled Fath al-Bari, the commentary on Sahih Bukhari. And so, he was a great scholar. He came by, he was walking with a lot of his students were with him. He had thousands of students. A Jew, this was in Egypt, was there. And this Jew was a very poor Jew with tattered clothing and everything. He walked by him. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani walked by him. He said, you're a prophet of mine. You're a prophet of mine. He said, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani said to him, why did you say something? He said, because your prophet, you claim that your prophet said, Ad-dunya sidhu mu'min wa jannatu kafir. This worldly life is a prison for the disbeliever, or for a prison for the believer, and a paradise for the disbeliever. He said, I'm a disbeliever. Why am I like this? Look at you. Nice clothing, all everybody respects you. I have nothing. Look at you. Is this paradise? You call this paradise? Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he said, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is correct. You don't understand what he has to say. What it means is, you as a Jew right now, if you were to die in this state, you will enter the Hellfire. And if you compare that to what you have now, this is your paradise. And that's for a believer. No matter how rich he may be, no matter how much you might think that he has, how much luxury he might be living in, in comparison to what he's going to get, this is a prison. It's a prison for him. So it doesn't mean you're going to live in destitute all the time. That's why the worship of Allah, one of the best ways to worship Allah, is also worshiping with the wealth that you have. So ask Allah to increase your wealth, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ni'mat ma usalih fi yadi rajulin salih. How great is pure wealth in the hand of a pious person. Pure wealth in the hand of a pious person. A person who has wealth, but he's pious and he spends it in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's something that's very, very beneficial. And that's why, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he was very rich. And he said, one of the du'as that he made,
He said, Allahumma inna al-faqr, laysa li wa lasta al-faqr. Fa'aghnini bima shi'ta wa kayfa shi'ta. He said, Oh Allah, me in poverty, you don't get along. You know, I'm not for poverty, and poverty is not for me. Like, we don't get along. Me in poverty, you don't get along. So, yeah, Allah, poverty, you know, some people, we don't heal yourself, right? You know, some people, they can't handle wealth. Some people, they can't handle poverty. He says to himself, yeah, Allah, you know, me in poverty, you don't get along. So, enrich me with however you will, with whatever you will. Enrich me with however you will, you know, with however you will. You know, we don't get along. Enrich me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala poured an abundance of wealth, but the thing is, he spent it in the path of Allah. And Allah continued to increase it for them. So if you're thankful for something, then spend it in the obedience of Allah. Spend it in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you have to understand that Allah will test us. And the tests will come. How you pass these tests, you know, will determine, or how you deal with these things, the choices that you make, will determine what you will have in this life and thereafter. And so, the time that you have, spend it in this world, it's very important. Spend it in something that will outlast your life. Spend it in something that will outlast your life. Work to make sure that your deeds will outlast your life. And then your deeds will continue even after you pass away. So look for sadaqah. And look, and do not make an excuse to say, you know, what I'm doing now will not make a difference. No. Every little thing, Allah knows, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will magnify when He sees the sincerity. You start it off, and you do it. And every single deed that you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, and Allah determines, gives you the reward on it based on the correctness of the deed and sincerity. And the greatness of sincerity. You might say a great deed, building large masajids and madaris, but if it's not sincere, it's worthless. In the sight of Allah, it will be worthless. But if you do it solely for the sake of Allah, even if it's a small amount of deed, if you consider it small, maybe you will enter Jannah as a result of that. And don't say that, oh, I can't make a difference. Let me give you a hadith. In Muslim, Imam Ahmad, hadith is hasan. Accepted. It's authentic. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا قَالَتِ السَّاعَةِ If the day of judgment, the hour which will occur. Right now, the day of judgment, say, you're here, you're in the day of judgment is occurring. وَفِي يَدِي أَحْلِكُمْ فَسِيلًا And one of you has a fasila. Fasila is like a small, date plant, tree, or seedling that's coming up, right? If he is able to plant that seedling before the hour of judgment, before the end of the world, then let him do so. I want you to think about this hadith carefully. He puts the seedling on the ground. Alhamdulillah, what happened to the seedling after that? It's the day of judgment. It's destroyed. It's gone. Why do you put the seedling there? Why? It's not going to make a difference. You put it in. You plant it. It's gone. It's the day of judgment. Everything will be destroyed. What's the point of this? The point here is that you have no excuse. You can't say, oh, I can't make it. Have high aspirations. And then be determined. And do it correctly. And then leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the reward for it. Whether that seedling grows or not, we're going to give them the reward. The purpose is to do all that we can, as much as we can, as often as we can, as correct as we can. And so, make a difference. Instead of just being different, we have to make a difference. We're already different in this sense. We have to make a difference also, especially in the society that we are living in. So
especially living as a minority, we have to stand up. We have to stand up in the good way. Then it won't matter what Fox, it won't matter what CNN says. You know what? Because if you're the best neighbor that you can be, you're the best pastor, you're the best co-worker, then no matter what people say about Islam and the Muslims, your actions and your impression on your colleagues and your non-Muslim friends will speak louder. You know, as they say, your actions speak so loud that I can't even hear what you're saying. They will not matter. Block all that CNN stuff, especially that Fox junk. If you block all that off, my soul and your character. So we as Muslims should be active in the community. We should be first suitors. We should be there when the battle doesn't need us. When there's a calamity, we should be there. We should be the face so that they'll know that, you know what? I know the Muslims. They're the most helpful. When people rejected me, I was, they were there. And I know the Muslims, they're the best of neighbors. I have a Muslim neighbor, I have a Muslim neighbor. And I know what Fox is saying is not true, because I know true Muslims. And who's my neighbor? And so we ourselves have to stand out. And when you stand out like that, then it gives you the opportunity for you to make that. To call people to light that. Why? Because when they come to you for help, you say, you know why? You know why I'm like this? Because that's what Islam orders us to. Let me tell you a little bit more about Islam. And then there, because you are the third, because you are the best neighbor, you are the best husband, you are the best co-worker, you are the best. So whatever you're doing, be the best at what you're doing. And most people in this society right now, they won't read the Quran. Most, the only Quran that they're going to see is what you embody. And you think that that's the only Quran they're going to read. And so you have to live your life as the Prophet lived. كَانَ خُلُقُ الْقُرْآنَ His خُلُق was the Quran. And so, when we are here, especially with the program, we should contribute, we should help out, we should stand out and in the community. And you know, maybe some of these little things, this is what will happen, will help us to tell us. Because as I mentioned, we will not enter Jannah because of our deeds, but it's the mercy of Allah. So every single deed may earn the mercy of Allah. It's not the compilation of deeds and so forth. It's the mercy of Allah. And I know that there's a lot of, I have a bad reputation in Seattle. And they say, never give a woman a telephone for a stand up and body a microphone. And so, I don't want to, I don't want to prolong it any longer. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us from that. Inshallah, maybe we can open up the floor for those who have any questions and concerns and so forth. So if you have no questions, I might ask.
This is more of a philosophy question, but is it okay to do more if you don't want your reward? Like, I want to go as much as I want more reward. Or I want to do this too, but I want more reward. Is that any way to manage this is okay to do more?
No, definitely. When it comes to the hereafter, you should always compete. You should always want more. That's why Abu Bakr, Umar al-Khattab wanted to beat Abu Bakr. Remember, he wanted to beat Abu Bakr. But that's what we compete for in the hereafter. We compete for the hereafter. In that, and for the hereafter, that those who want to compete, let them compete. So that competition type of thing. But the thing is, that you should not be jealous of the other person in the sense you want them not to have it. You want them, let's say you want them to fail. Like for example, let's say you have a Quran competition and somebody's reading and they're competing against you. You should never ever want them to make a mistake. It's the Quran. How could you want your brother to make a mistake reciting the Quran? Do you understand? If you compete, you want to do much better than him, but you don't want him to be bad. You don't want him to make a mistake. So this is what we call rifa. You want something for him, but you don't want him to basically destroy it. And that's why there are two people that we are allowed to have this this halal jealousy war. And that those two people are those who have knowledge or know the Quran, and they recite it day and night. And those who have love, they spend it day and night. When you see somebody like that, you want to be like that. In fact, that's who you should be. That's who you should be competing with. Some of us, we don't compete with those people. You say, well, at least I pray. Then all the people don't pray. Thanks, subhanAllah. Don't look at those guys. Look at the guys who are first in the line in the masjid. Then why do you compare yourself with those people? But when it comes to the hereafter, or when it comes to the dunya, that's a different matter. When it comes to the dunya, whatever Allah has given to them, of course you don't say, you should never look at somebody and say, wow, you know, he's rich, and then you want something bad for him to happen. You want something, those types of things to happen. And this is society, this is a very strange society. Another thing I forgot to mention is, in this society, one of the reasons why we don't have time, we don't have blessings in the time that we have, in the world that we have, is because we buy things we don't need with money we don't have, at a price we can't afford, to impress people we don't even like. This society makes us do that. And so we're wasting our time, huh? Like, subhanAllah, like, okay, remember the old days? The old days? You know, Joe has a TV. He's the only one that has a TV in the neighborhood. Everyone goes there, right? Everyone goes to watch it, you know, watch the TV in his house. And then now, right, you have the Super Bowl age, right? You got color TV. Oh, let's go to Richard's house. You got color TV, right? Nobody complained about it. Everyone like, wow, TV, look, you can actually see it, better to hear it. Right? Then, oh, it's color now. It's color. After color, you go to the house with the biggest, you know, the biggest screen, right? But you know that, remember that old big screen? Like, 20 people had to carry it. Right? And plus, it's all blurry because, you know, you're just like, it's all pixelated. Or worse than that, right? Remember those days? My God, go ahead, look at this guy, like, 47 inch or whatever it is, right? And then after that, right, you gotta have HDTV. It's all about HDTV. You can actually see the span of grass. Like, what am I doing watching the span of grass when I watch football? Like, what is that benefit? You understand? But you can actually see the grass, and you can see the dirt. Wow, I mean, that's, like, come on. Okay, now that's different. Okay, no, forget it. We don't need to go to Richard House. Let's go to Paul's house. You know Paul? He's got 3D TV. That grass and that dirt is white, right? Like, dude. Right? It's not enough. But ask yourself, do you need it? Or do you want it? Let me tell you something, okay? Allah will always give you what you need. Not everything you want, but you always have what you need. But sometimes there are needs or there are wants. Or actually, the